Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. The greater portion of Raw last night, folks, was a tag team tournament to decide who the number one contenders would be. We'll be getting to that a little bit later. That was basically the crux of the show. There in Alabama last night, the crowd was actually pretty hot. And from the opening segment, I really thought we were in for a barn burner of a night. And the crowd, you know what, they did maintain that vocalness through most of the night. But there were some very interesting lulls that we'll talk about, because I think those lulls are very telling. Now, we start out with Kevin Owens coming into the ring. And basically, Kevin Owens is, you know, he's doing his normal shtick about Roman Reigns and the Royal Rumble. And he's interrupted by JBL and Baron Corbin. It hasn't been seen in a little bit. And, you know, this particular pairing, I think the WWE had some high hopes for at one point. I really think they thought this was going to be the reinvention of Baron Corbin. We never did here. I said from the very beginning, it doesn't work for one simple reason, and that is the person who's getting the heat is the wrong person. It's JBL and his promos who are getting the heat. It's not Corbin. So unless your guy is getting heat, just having the manager himself get the heat, it really doesn't work. Traditionally, that doesn't work. You have to have a wrestler who's actually getting heat. Baron Corbin's not getting it. Now, I've heard people say, well, you've tried enough experiments with Baron Corbin. You tried the lone wolf. You tried him when he was doing the whole Happy Corbin thing. You tried him as a commissioner. None of this worked. I disagree with that. I think Baron Corbin, if given the right angle, has a lot of potential. I think he's a very good professional wrestler. I think he's very good on the mic. I think he's above average in the ring. He's just being given not good stuff. Not good stuff. Stuff that's very difficult to get over. And this whole wrestling God thing is maybe the toughest of all, because he barely gets to speak. The one thing I did like about this segment, however, is that JBL is absolutely correct when he said the last person to have an actual pinfall victory over Roman Reigns is, in fact, Baron Corbin. That's a fact. And one we brought up on the show before when we said, if you ever wanted to flip Baron Corbin and turn him face, he does have a legitimate claim to have beaten Roman Reigns in the past. However, this was basically just an excuse for Kevin Owens to act like there's no way in hell Baron Corbin would ever be close to beating Roman Reigns, and he's not in my league, and making faces and putting his head on the turnbuckle and basically underselling Baron Corbin as a bum and leading to a match in which he proves that Baron Corbin is basically a mid-carder. Going so far as to say, well, look, we could do this two ways. You can just run into the ring and I'll KO you and leave you here. Or we can have a match and I'll KO you and leave you here. Wow, way to sell. See, there's one problem with that philosophy. And that is, if you're so adamant that the person you're facing is a nobody, then when you beat them, who'd you beat? You beat a nobody. So it almost like makes you look worse if you give them a lot of offense, because you're like, well, you're a nobody. The minute you get in this ring, I'll just KO you and that's it. Or if you want to have a match, I'll screw around with you for a few minutes. I'll still KO you and leave. It doesn't matter. You know, you're not worthy of my time. And then you almost lose to him. It almost makes you look worse. So I never really cared for those type of angles too much. you know, it would have been better, I think, if Kevin Owens took him seriously. But, I mean, this is what he's told to do, so this is what he did. Crowd was okay for this match. They're solidly behind Kevin Owens. So at least you can have that. But I think this Baron Corbin experiment, Todd, for the most part, is finished.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the Baron Corbin thing, like you said, he was not getting over. To me, when he was doing the Lone Wolf thing, he was getting over. I like the Lone Wolf. That's the one of the gimmicks I truly really liked, and it got over with fans with the heat as a heel.
Yeah, and I think it could potentially get over as a face, too, if they tried it. But this nonsense is just, it's not working. I mean, it's great that JBL has something to do, but it's really not working. So Kevin Owens gets the win. That's fine. We get the announcement we're having a tag team tournament later to decide the number one contenders. We'll get to that, like I said, in a minute. Bayley takes on Mi-Chin, Mia Yim. What did we warn you about on this show? You know, it's funny how sometimes we can just, you could see it coming a mile away. Soon as AJ Styles announced, I'll be out for a while, my very first thought was, oh, God, there goes the OC. They're going to throw them into Prelimville now. Mia Yim not only loses in her running down to rescue Becky Lynch from having to wrestle damage control by herself situation, she now goes in against Bayley and loses that. I thought she was supposed to be the big secret weapon of the OC, the really dominant, crazy person that Rhea Ripley couldn't contend with. She's losing to Bayley, she's losing to damage control, she's done. And then if that's not bad enough, they beat her up backstage more. Really, really ill-advised. I mean, at this stage of the game, if you're Mia Yim, you're saying to yourself, my God in heaven, come back to do what? Count the ring lights. And we'll talk about what happened with the OC later, Todd, but I wasn't a big fan of this. I mean, why put Mia Yim even against her if you're trying to push the OC a little bit? And then on top of that, when she's being beaten down backstage, Bayley and Damage Control are saying, well, you don't have any friends. Well, okay, she may not have any female friends to step up for her, but I thought she was a member of the OC. So I don't get this, and it looks like the Mia Yim thing is kind of done too as well, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this Mia Yim thing, When AJ Styles got hurt, I had that feeling they're gonna send her down to the lower mid-card, the women's division, and made her lose to Bayley.
You know, it's not even that it's the lower. I mean, at least she's getting a match against a high-profile person, but she's not coming close to winning. And I know people say, "Oh, she got a lot of offense in that match." Not really. Not really. And I know people say, "Well, you know, Becky Lynch lost to her, too." Totally different situation. Mia Yim has just come in. Name me a big Mia Yim victory. I can name you a dozen gigantic Becky Lynch victories. Name me a big Mia Yim victory that you're like, wow, she beat who? I guess they're really taking her serious. There isn't any. None that I can think of. So, therefore, she's become almost irrelevant. Almost irrelevant. We get an announcement backstage that Johnny Gargano was injured. That's a shame. It's not like he was extraordinarily taking off, him or Dexter Lumis, but shame to see anybody injured. They had an interview with Candice LeRae, his wife, who was saying, you know, they're concentrating on him getting back to competition as soon as possible. Rhea Ripley interrupts that for reasons unknown. And basically just says, well, I was sick of hearing you two whine about blah, blah, blah. Let's take it out in the ring. So out in the ring they go. To which Rhea Ripley basically just dominates Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae's going nowhere fast either. for all the people who couldn't wait until Gargano and LeRae and Tommaso Ciampa and Dexter Lumis and all those guys came up, man, you know, oh, well, Vince McMahon would be the one holding them back. Vince McMahon's not holding them back now. So who's the one telling them to go out there and count the ring lights? Be cannon fodder for Rhea Ripley, who you're setting up, obviously, for Bianca Belair, but for God's sake, I thought you were at least setting her up for some good matches against Mia Yim. So while Mia Yim's counting the ring lights to Bayley, Rhea Ripley's kept strong, beating Candice LeRae. And I mean really beating her. Dominant performance by Rhea Ripley. So, once again, you know, I warned everybody about this. I said, just because some of these guys are coming up, some of your favorites from NXT or people you think should be in WWE and hold a big position there, it doesn't mean when they get there they're going to be used this way. And as we're seeing now, Todd, several of them are not being used in any major way.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Candice LeRae, and she's not being used properly since he came up on the came up to the main roster. I got that feeling she was. I don't think she's ready to be on the main roster. I think she just kept her down in NXT to build herself up a little bit.
I mean, I don't know how much more you can build her up. She's not ready for the main roster, that's for sure, because they're not giving her much of a chance. I mean, she's losing every feud she's in. She was in there against Damage Control. She was basically losing. Now she's cannon fodder for Rhea Ripley, so who can she beat? Not looking well for them. Not looking well for them at all. And I'm looking at Raw now, and I'm saying, okay, well, look, you had the Kevin Owens thing. It was quite obvious he was beating Baron Corbin, but at the same time, you know, it's a shame that you're doing nothing with Corbin after you told us to invest in this JBL thing. You're cutting it, obviously, making JBL look stupid, coming out there calling somebody a wrestling god. He can't beat anybody. Then Mia Yim gets kind of thrown to the wolves when I thought you were doing a pretty big buildup with her in the OC as being, look, these are the real deal people here. Mia Yim's going to be a top contender for a woman's title. The OC is going to be top contenders for the tag team title. AJ Styles, their leader, is going to be top contenders for a title. This is a serious, solid group. Not happening, folks. Absolutely not happening. So we get a little segment with Alexa Bliss, and Alexa Bliss comes out, they said, to explain her actions and what she did to Bianca Belair. And instead, she kind of just justifies her actions and says, well, hey, this is the real me. I'm the new face of evil. I'm now in control. It's not Bray Wyatt you need to fear. It's not Uncle Howdy you have to fear. You have to fear me. To which we get Uncle Howdy on the first time the Titantron. And for the benefit of people who didn't understand what he said, part of what he said was, do you really feel like you're in control? Do you really think you're in control? And then he walks out onto the stage, and they cut to a commercial, and that's it. Nobody mentions anything. When they come back, they don't say, well, that was bizarre, and I don't know what's happening. No, they just, well, that happened, okay. On to the next thing. Kind of weird. I don't know if this is working or it's not working. I'm being told now that most people have come to the conclusion based upon the fact that Bo Dallas was definitely backstage last night, that Bo Dallas is Uncle Howdy. Don't know if that's 100% solid written in stone, but I do know Bo Dallas was there. I do know Uncle Howdy showed up. Pretty coincidental. Probably the case that he's Uncle Howdy. We go backstage to where Dolph Ziggler is preparing for his match. No, let's talk first about Austin Theory. Austin Theory comes out, cuts a really good promo. And I want people to understand something. Yeah, they're going to cheer for Seth Rollins whether he comes out by himself or he comes out at any time. This crowd was ready to cheer for Seth Rollins. But Austin Theory set this up really, really well. He had a lot of heat before the Seth Rollins music hit. That helps. Seth Rollins had them in the palm of his hand. He didn't have to do much, and he didn't do much. He didn't really even say much. It didn't matter. He basically just said, yeah, I mean, he's not 100%, but it will be by the time I'm in the Royal Rumble, which I will be in and I will win. And that was about it. But then out comes Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley gets immediately in the ring and spears Austin Theory to a huge ovation. Huge ovation. Bobby Lashley was getting crickets. So I want people to understand something. Later, when Bobby Lashley picks up the microphone, which is just a few seconds later, and says, I'm entering the Royal Rumble and I'm going to throw everybody out, there wasn't huge cheers. The huge cheers came from the fact that Austin Theory got so much heat that anybody who came out there and shut him up for a minute was going to get a pop. That's Austin Theory's good work, not Bobby Lashley's. That's Austin Theory causing that big pop, not necessarily Bobby Lashley. So Lashley gives him the spear. He enters himself into the Royal Rumble, and then backstage, we see MVP, who said, look, you know, I'm the one somewhat responsible for getting you back here. I talked to Adam Pearce, talked him into letting you come back. I also talked to Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. I got them in this tag team tournament tonight. You know, things are going back to the way they should have been. I guess the Almost experiment is over because Almost wasn't with them. And Bobby Lashley basically says, look, we're cool, but business is business, and I don't want anything to do with it right now. Obviously, we're going to get the Hurt Business back at some point. Obviously, that's where this is going. I think the Austin Theory segment was very, very good, Todd, very, very strong. Obviously, Seth Rollins is easily the most popular wrestler on Raw. And Theory getting some heat off of that helped Bobby Lashley as well.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Theory says, I mean, he came out with his U.S. championship belt last night. He says, the champ is here. He pulled like a Lord John Cena thing.
Yep.
I noticed that.
Yeah, made the John Cena reference, and there's a lot of talk that that's who's going to be his opponent at WrestleMania, John Cena. I don't know how I feel about that, and I'll tell you why. Maybe John Cena did nothing in that tag team match because he was saving himself and didn't want to take any risk at all of being hurt in any way, shape, or form. Or maybe he's just a little off his game. He better get back onto his game, because if you're going to face Austin Theory in a decent match at WrestleMania, you're going to have to put out a lot more than that. So we'll see. But that's the big rumor, of course, is that he's facing John Cena. I don't know why. I guess, you know, John Cena's not winning. So, again, it's just one more name to add to the star-studded WrestleMania, which I should say has broken box office records. This WrestleMania has sold more tickets than any other WrestleMania at this particular time. That's amazing, since no matches have really even been announced. So the WWE doing gangbuster business with this, no question about it, gangbuster business. We go backstage where Dolph Ziggler's preparing for Solo Sikoa, and there's an announcer there talking to him. He's saying, they went too far when they attacked me. Enter Mustafa Ali, who does maybe the worst job I have ever seen on the microphone. He is so unconvincing. He is. It's like he's reading the lines off Dolph Ziggler's forehead. He said, I talked to Adam Pearce, and Adam Pearce said we could have been in the tag team tournament. Why could you be in the tag team tournament? You're not a tag team. Why the hell would you be in the number one contenders tag team tournament? Explain that to me, please. But you turned it down because you wanted to do this match with Solo. And Dolph Ziggler goes, yeah, I want to do the match with Solo. It's, you know, it's a revenge thing. It has nothing to do with us being a tag team. I'm sure we could be a good tag team. And Ali looks a little frustrated. Number one, the whole thing makes no sense. If you're having a number one contenders, then I can name you a couple of tag teams should have been in it that weren't. And one of them is not going to be Dolph Ziggler and Ali. So I'm not sure why they could have been in this. But either way, a weird segment, and it just goes to show you, I think, Todd, that Ali's just not ready. Just not ready to use that mic in any serious way.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, in that skit with Ali and Ziggler did last night, it looks like Ali don't know any of his lines in that skit. And, you know, like you said, it's like he's reading off of a cue card on top of Ziggler's head there, like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about Ali. Because, you know, there's so many people who are saying to me, oh, you know, I don't know why you don't like Ali. He's a wonderful athlete. Yes, he is. He's fun to watch in the ring. He's not okay on the mic. He's not passable on the mic. He's terrible. And on top of being terrible on the mic, he has zero charisma. Zero charisma. The only charisma Ali ever had was in the run where he was that super underdog, that Daniel Bryan type who was trying to overcome the odds. This fluctuating back and forth with I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy, I'm a heel, I'm a face, I'm a whiner, I'm a complainer, it's ruined him. He has no charisma whatsoever. Nobody cares whether he wins or loses. That's the worst thing that can happen to a wrestler. Doesn't matter if you're a face and everybody hates you, as long as you're getting a reaction. Doesn't matter if you're a heel and everybody loves you, you're getting a reaction. But when you just get nothing, unless you hit a high spot, if a high spot's the only way you're going to get a crowd pop, you're doomed. You're doomed. I mean, you need to look at some of the masters. Ric Flair could get a crowd, a huge pop from an audience by just flexing a little bit to the left or right or a head movement. Amazing. Randy Savage could point to the ceiling, you know, the crowd goes wild. Stone Cold Steve Austin could just come in and literally crack open a beer and get a pop. And now you got people saying, well, I got a pop, but I had to climb to the top rope and do a triple plancha suicide dive through three tables. Okay, well, then guess what? You got no charisma. And unfortunately, Ali has no charisma. Doesn't mean he's a bad worker. He's not a bad worker. Don't have it. And I don't think he's ever going to. The best thing to do with somebody like Ali really is to put him in a tag team. And then maybe we can at least get some sense of camaraderie from the other guy, and we'll see what happens. This absolutely not working. Now, Solo put on a good match with Dolph Ziggler. One of the better matches of the night, I thought. Ziggler got a little more offense than I thought he might. And I also thought we might see Ali show up and cause some problems, but he didn't. So at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, I know some people are getting mad and saying, oh, they're making Solo look like he's invincible. Nah, I'm not really making him look like he's invincible. He sold a lot to Sheamus. He sold a lot to Dolph Ziggler. I don't think he's looking like he's invincible. I just think they're trying to make him look super tough, which is there's no problem with that. It's better than the opposite where you're 50-50 booking constantly. So, again, I think Ziggler did his job well. I think Solo did his job well. Solo never says anything much. And he has more charisma than Ali, Todd.
I think you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that match with Solo, Sokolia, and Dolph Ziggler last night was a pretty good match. Like you said, like you said about Ziggler, he got plenty of offense. Solo gave him a lot of offense to had the match, and like you said, that match came out pretty well. No interference from nobody.
Yeah, I thought that was
actually.
Now backstage, we get a Bronson Reed interview that's interrupted by The Miz, and The Miz is trying to say we're buddies, and everybody better look out now, and blah blah blah. To which Bronson Reed kind of cuts him off and says, "I don't know what you're talking about. There's no me and you. You keep paying me. You want me to do something, you keep paying me." Well, this was the angle I had suggested for Dexter Loomis. Whereas Loomis doesn't really like the Miz, but he's taking his money, which I thought is where it might go, but I guess not. I don't even know what they're doing with Loomis at this stage of the game. Bronson Reed could be a major player. We've seen Bronson Reed. He's, for a big guy, he moves really well. And he's fun to watch in the ring. And he's not terrible on the mic. And it depends on what they do with him, but Bronson Reed could potentially have a very successful career in the WWE, which is weird considering Vince McMahon saw nothing in him. But I do think, Todd, that if they play their cards right with him, they may have something.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Bronson Reed here, and when he was in NXT, he was a good wrestler. And now he's on the main roster. Well, I want to see him how he do as a main roster competitor. Maybe you'll see him be like in the mid card for a mid card title belt down the road.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think the sky's the limit with the guy if they handle it right. We're just going to have to wait and see. Now, Mike had written me earlier saying he could not make the show this week, unfortunately, but sent me some points that he especially liked, which was the Alexa Bliss situation, which I agree with. I think they're handling the Alexa Bliss situation right, and that is that they're basically saying she thinks she's in control again, but she's not. And also the Bronson Reed situation, which I think is also correct. You don't want Bronson Reed coming in saying, yeah, my buddy The Miz, that's never going to work for him. That's a path straight to Preliminaryville. Bronson Reed being sort of a I'll go where the money is guy is okay with me. Definitely okay with that. So then we start the tag team tournament, which starts actually with a segment of Miz TV. Now, I had said before on the situation with Dominic, where Dominic said, I was in prison, and obviously he wasn't. You're in county jail for a few hours. That's all you'd ever be on a trespassing charge. That it was probably a joke. They're probably trying to make him be this exaggerated, oh, I know what hard time is, when obviously he doesn't. Well, that I was right. That is the joke. Here's the problem. Nobody's getting it. I mean, I get it, and there are some fans who get it, but man, that crowd didn't get it. That crowd, Dominic used to be, when he went to talk, people were booing. I'm worried now, because now when he goes to talk, people are just like, whatever, nobody cares. They didn't get any of the jokes. The Miz was trying to force feed him the jokes. Did you hear The Miz? He's like, come on, folks, he needs a big hand. He's a look at the life experience he lived through and came through with it. Come on, let's see. He was trying in every way he could to rev that audience up. That audience couldn't care less. Here's a newsflash why. They don't care about Judgment Day. I don't care if there's a few people out there who say, you're wrong about the Judgment Day. I'm not wrong. They are a absolute opposite of a magnet for charisma. Nobody cares about Finn Balor. Nobody cares about Damian Priest. Nobody. Together, they have minus charisma. Rhea Ripley and Dominic, yes. They do care about Rhea Ripley and Dominic. The problem is, now you've went off on this weird tangent. First, the Judgment Day were led by Edge, and they were some sort of a dark, brutish-type clique. Then Edge left, and they were still kind of dark. Oh, Finn Balor's the real demon. He's the real darkness. He's the real face of evil. Now, all of a sudden, they're playing second fiddle to Dominic's I'm a hard-ass prison ex-con, and I'm wearing gang clothing. You don't even know what you want to do with the Judgment Day. You don't know what the hell they are. That's the problem. Nobody knows what the hell they are. Are they just a group of people? Are they supposed to have some occultish whatever? Are they supposed to be some kind of dark? One minute they're, you know, Hot Topic wannabes. The next minute they're a gang. Finn Balor don't fit in any of them. Yeah, Finn Balor's going to be shopping at Hot Topic. Yeah, Finn Balor's in the street gang. Holy shit. Terrible. And by the way, I would like to mention something, because nobody's brought it up, so I think I'll be the guy who does. When Rusev and Lana were in the WWE and they were going through their were split, and Lana was going her separate ways, not with Bobby Lashley. This was before that, with the Dolph Ziggler thing and everything. Rusev and Lana posted pictures on Instagram of them on their honeymoon. And the WWE punished them. The WWE said, wait a minute, you're breaking our storylines all up. You guys aren't supposed to be together, and now you're posting stuff on the beach together saying how happy you are. This is unacceptable. You're stepping all over our storylines. Well, what Dominic do? Dominic announced his engagement to his high school sweetheart, which, God bless him, I wish them well. But the bottom line of the situation is he did the same thing. He's not being punished. Matter of fact, he's being rewarded for it. So there's your double standard. This thing with Dominic is not going to work, and here's why. At the very best it could possibly be, it's a comedy gimmick. Oh, I know what hard times are. I sat in a local yokel jail for 6-8 hours. I'm a hardened thug now. Prison life has changed me. That's a joke. Is the Judgment Day now a bunch of jokes? Is that what it's supposed to be? And Finn Balor and Damian Priest are going to go along with it, saying, that's right, he's a hardened criminal now. He's a badass. What? That's what you want to make of them? What are they going to do, chase the 24/7 title pretty soon? I mean, what are you talking about? You don't want to reduce the Judgment Day to comedic stuff. I'm telling you, you don't want to go there. But you went there. And you see how it worked. The crowd sat on their hands. But anyway, when they were done with this horrible segment, out come the OC to no, absolutely no pop. You know why they had no pop? Because the Judgment Day got no heat. No heat equals no pop. So the Judgment Day is in the ring. OC comes out to no pop. They have a okay match. I mean, these guys are going to have an okay match. They're professional wrestlers. They're good at what they do. I'm tired of people saying, but the match was good. Well, the match better be good. That's what they do for a living. There's no excuse for the match to be bad. So I'm not going to pat them on the ass and say, but the match, okay, well, you had an average match. I would imagine that's what you should be able to do. That's the bare minimum we ask of you. But nobody liked it, and I'll tell you why I didn't like it. You had the Judgment Day start out. Well, it's quite obviously they're winning. Quite obvious. Especially when your competition is the OC who goes down in the first round and now look like total jokes, which, again, we warned you about when AJ went down. I said, uh-oh. That doesn't speak well for the OC. It doesn't speak well for me, Yim. Wait and see what they're going to do. I was right. But then we have Alpha Academy come out. And I guess they're faces. Because they worked face. Otis got the hot tag. Crowd went nuts. They did a halfway clever spot where Finn Balor pulls Chad Gable on top of him for the big splash, but hurts himself. So now suddenly Adam Pearce comes out and says it's okay to make a substitution. In what century is it okay for a guy in a tag team match to make a substitution? When did you ever do that for the New Day? Oh, well, Xavier Woods is hurt in the middle of a match. Therefore, because he can't continue this match, he's too hurt. Big E can come in. When did you ever do that? That's the most idiotic rule in the world. They've lost the match then. If Finn Balor cannot continue, you've lost the match. But you know what the big thing is? They needed to get Dominic in there because he's the only one anybody cares about. And you're starting to ruin that. So anyway, Dominic gets in there. The Street Profits come out. The Street Profits are excellent. Now, the Street Profits are starting to hit their stride. When the Street Profits first came in, they weren't handled all that well. They were doing those stupid things where they were Anchorman, and they were doing the things with the Viking Raiders, and it was, But they've hit their stride now. And the Street Profits and the OC definitely belong in this tag team tournament. But Alpha Academy doesn't. Name me the last match they've won. How is Alpha Academy in there? How? That's unbelievable. That's like saying, well, we don't really have any good teams. Therefore, if Dolph Ziggler wanted to throw together a team with Mustafa Ali, we'd put him right in contention. Alpha Academy hasn't won a match since, I don't know. And we'll throw in them in there as one of the top guys. Wow. All you're doing is making your tag team division look like a joke. Where's the Viking Raiders? I mean, I would assume that it doesn't just have to be Raw teams. Why does it have to just be Raw teams? I don't know. It looked like a joke to me. But worse than all of it, as far as I'm concerned, is that Judgment Day wins. Because what are you doing? People are like, oh, and at the end they had the Judgment Day, had the face-off with the Usos, and it was great. No, it wasn't great. How's that great? Nobody likes the Judgment Day, so it de facto makes the Usos faces. How do you want the Usos, who are supposed to, in a very short period of time, I would imagine, face Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and you would hope, that while you're waiting for that big buildup, you're trying very hard to get the Usos heat so that Zayn and KO get the big pop. And while you're doing that, you're practically making the Usos faces by having them go against Judgment Day. That makes no sense. I'm sorry, but that makes no sense. Zero. And if you're a big Judgment Day fan, first off, God bless you, because I don't know how. But if you are, they're not winning. So then they're just going to be put back down to Palookaville after this. Oh, well, the Usos kicked your ass. Because that's what's going to happen. I'm letting the Usos lose before they get Sami and KO. They're not doing that. So that doesn't work for me. I'd have rather seen the Street Profits. At least you would have said, wow, we're going to have quite a match here. Nope. Judgment Day. And we don't even know at this point, well, what Judgment Day is it going to be? Are they going to claim that Finn is hurt and can't compete, so it's going to be Damian Priest and Dominic? Or is Finn just hurt for a day or two? We don't even know. But much like the Judgment Day, I mean, next week they could come out as circus clowns because they don't know what they are. We're a street gang. We're an evil group of occultists. We're goth kids on the mall. We're a BSDM club. They don't know what they are. They don't know what they are. And we don't know what they are. You'll notice they stopped all the dark stuff now. Now it's just about, you know, it's just terrible. It's just a rudderless ship. That's what Judgment Day is. It's a rudderless ship. And when you got two guys with obviously the in-ring ability, I never took anything away from the in-ring ability or the athleticism of Finn Balor. I just said he has no charisma, and he doesn't. And Damian Priest. And in no time at all, they're overshadowed by Rhea Ripley, who couldn't get arrested a year ago, and Dominic Mysterio, who had a zero personality a year ago. When you get outshined by them, you truly and honestly know you're not very good at what you're doing on the mic. You're not very good at getting the crowd into what you're doing. If you're that easily outshined by those two, That's not good, folks. I don't see a long life for the Judgment Day. As a matter of fact, I thought this might be the match in which they kind of split ways, because Rhea Ripley and Dominic are the story. You remove Rhea Ripley and Dominic and just say Finn Balor and Damian Priest are a tag team, and they're nowhere. Nobody's going to care. The story is always revolving around who? So I don't know. I mean, I don't see this as – it could be technically a good match, Todd, but I'm not thrilled with Judgment Day versus the Usos. I'm just not. How does that help the Usos get heat?
To be honest with you, like you said, I don't think it's going to work. And, you know, the Judgment Day, when Edge was the leader of Judgment Day, it was getting heat when Edge was part of that. And now there's a comedy act.
The thing I don't get, and I guess I never will, is I thought when you added Finn Balor, the gimmick was going to be that Finn Balor said, despite the way I look and the way I conduct myself in this ring, everyone knows that when I get pushed too far, the demon comes out. What you didn't know was that demon, that's the real Finn Balor. The Finn Balor you see sometimes here, you see more often, that's me just trying to fight it. Then you'd say, okay, well, it makes sense. He's in the Judgment Day. He's basically saying he's an evil dude who has to control his demons. He doesn't really particularly want to, so now he's teasing that at any time that demon can come out. When it does, you are all going to be in trouble. No, he's not doing that. Damian Priest just standing around like he's, you know, the fourth wheel in a third-rate street gang somewhere. He's not interesting. The only people that are interesting is Rhea Ripley and Dominic. And you're throwing Dominic into a comedy angle where he's saying, I'm a thug now. Thug life, baby. I'm a hardened criminal. I've served hard time. You don't want that. God have mercy. That's what you want for the Judgment Day, is to relegate them to a comedy angle where Finn Balor has to nod and smile when he's saying what a hard time he had in prison, and Damian Priest has to say, tell him how you had to straighten out your bunkmate. Oh, my God. That's the last thing in the world you want for Judgment Day. They should have been dead serious. You want to throw Dominic in the mix, then, and as that little lost, that Rhea Ripley, is cultivating, great, that was working. I don't know why you had to go with this thug comedy gimmick, because that's just going to destroy them. You want to do that and branch them off from Judgment Day, go ahead. But boy, does that just kill the other two. That just kills the other two. So, let me say this before we get to our ratings. Mike liked this show a lot better than me. Mike sent me his score of A-. He said he thought the matches were good. He liked what they did with Bronson Reed. He liked what they did with Alexa Bliss. I'm in agreement with those things. But the last hour of this show was dedicated to a tag team tournament that had at least one tag team that didn't even belong there in Alpha Academy. And one tag team that was allowed to make a substitution. Literally allowed to make a substitution in mid-combat. I don't get it. And I don't like it. And the ultimate result is you're going to have a heel team go against the Usos. Well, who do you think the crowd's going to cheer for? I'll tell you who they're going to cheer for. They're going to cheer for the Usos. How does that help Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens when it comes to them ultimately fighting the Usos, which is going to happen? Do you want it to be 50-50? Because if I'm a booker, I don't want it to be 50-50. If I'm a booker, I want the fans to say, God damn those Usos. I can't wait for Sammy and Kevin to kick their asses. Or if you're pulling that old swerveroo, then you want to say, okay, well, goddamn Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I can't wait for the Usos to kick their asses. But if you're doing that, then you're tipping your hand now because you're getting people to cheer for the Usos. And honest to God, you know, they're going to have Solo on the outside, and they're probably going to have Sami Zayn on the outside. And if they have those two people on the outside, you know, it's not a contest. It's just not a contest. The Usos have beaten way better teams. They're not losing. So here we go. Here we go with the Judgment Day, just, you know, well, we're building them up for this match, but then we're tearing them down. And then we'll build them up, and then we'll tear them down. And then we'll build them up, and then we'll tear them down. It's not like if you had big plans for Judgment Day, then you should never let them lose. They should still be basically undefeated. They've lost plenty. Too many times. Finn Balor's lost a zillion times. You shouldn't be doing that then. You should be building them up for, well, the undefeated Judgment Day. How will the Usos handle them? I don't know, the same way everybody else handled the Judgment Day who beat them. Because the Usos are undefeated for how long? I never liked booking in which the people who are going to be playing the faces, so to speak, are the huge favorite. I always liked the it works if it's with somebody like The Undertaker or, you know, Hulk Hogan or somebody where you say, oh, well, they're not getting by them, so I can't wait to go there and see them get their ass kicked because they're not beating The Undertaker or they're not beating Hogan. I get that. But for the most part, you want the face to be the guy that you say, how is he ever going to overcome the bad guys? Oh, I don't know. Everybody's overcome the Judgment Day. They're not nothing special. So, of course, the Usos are going to kick their asses. Don't like it. So, Mike gave this show an A- overall. I'm giving it a B-. I thought the in-ring action was okay, but this last hour with the tag teams, I thought was a waste of an hour as far as I'm concerned, and I don't like the direction it's taking, Todd.
Like you said, I got to go with you with the same grade as well. Well, like you said, the last hour Raw last night, it was just a tag team turmoil. It's not for the Undisputed Tag Team Champions. I guess it's for the number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Championship.
Contender.
Yep.
Yeah, if it's for the number one contenders, how come there aren't any other teams in it that are viable? I don't recall the Viking Raiders losing recently. Where are they? Where are all these good tag teams? I know you couldn't get certain tag teams in there because of people being hurt. But, I mean, that's it? That's what you got? Wow. That's awful. I don't know, folks. I don't know. All I can tell you is this. The WWE is making some weird moves. We'll see if they work out or not. I'm skeptical. We'll talk to you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.